is none other than my very own father-in-law, Beresford Munro Brown, the Right Reverend. I am so deeply honored. I'm going to give you a hand up over here like we did in the early service. That worked well, didn't it? Okay, here we go.
There we go.
Excellent. This English gentleman is an incredible blessing in our lives. Not only is he my father-in-law, but he is one of my heroes in the faith. He served the Lord for over 55 years now, and he's been a pastor most of that time. He currently serves the church in West Hendon in London. He's one of the elders of the church there. He preaches almost every Sunday in some church, some Bible fellowship somewhere. And as you can tell, he's a little moving around a little slowly nowadays, but his heart is running just the miracle mile. It's amazing. So I am honored that today he's going to bring the word. I want you to please take out your notepads or your pens. I want you to pay attention. It's not very often that we have somebody of his stature sharing the word with us. And the Bible tells us that we ought to give special honor to our elders, especially those who are in the Lord, those who are serving the Lord, and those who are ministering in the word. And so I encourage you, listen carefully. God's got something for you today.
Go for it.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful man. I thank you for the work that he has seen you do. And because of that, the faith that he has, he comes into the pulpit today, he knows there's nothing impossible for you, Lord, and for those who believe in you. I pray that he would be used by you to impart that kind of faith into our hearts as well. May his testimony stir up courage and faith in us. Lord, we pray for strength for him as he stands here. We pray strength in his physical body and give a prophetic voice, Lord, to him. And I ask for your anointing on him in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Eric. You will excuse me today. I've had a bit of an attack of the devil, but I won't. He won't get me down now, and he won't get me down again in the future. We are more than conquerors through him who loves us and cares for us in a special way. I'm afraid I have a bit of a sense of humor at times, and I think where's Emilio? He's gone with the youth, I think, upstairs. When I saw Emilio up here and him telling everybody how if they reach the fullness of their target, the youth are going to straighten his hair out, I think they might change his name to Spike. I have been listening to the many comments and things that have been going on here this morning and at the earlier service. God, in his grace and mercy, has a very special plan for each and every one of us in life. And I wonder how many of us really know who we are in Christ Jesus. He's precious. We know him by the many names. I've got a list here of over 100 names of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But I realize that God has a special name for us because he knows us by name. And we are his. And I have been preparing. Eric might have thought I was doing sleeping most of the time. But now and again, I have been preparing for what I believe God had for me to bring to the church this morning. And as usual, the Holy Spirit changes it. And so I'm going to be preaching on a service that something came up in the singing and the ministering of God's word. And I feel God has a word for us from the 23rd Psalm. Do you know the 23rd Psalm, any of you? Now, I have a different translation here, and it sort of boggles my mind. So I'm going to say it from the King James Version, which, you know, Paul used. And if I remember it rightly, can you all say the 23rd Psalm? Come on, then. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He restoreth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Come on. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. What a mighty word, and what an awesome psalm. I thought of it as being like a nightingale singing forth the glory of God as it sings its words into our hearts and our lives, and every one of us has a wonderful, wonderful experience through this. If you can imagine a young lad by the name of David, this was a product, by the way, of his older age, but you can imagine him in his young age sitting there in the fields caring for the flock of God. And as he cares for the flock of God, and he sits down there playing, well, what we would probably call today his guitar. There was a lovely sound from the guitars this morning, I thought. And it was good to hear the harmony of them and to sing the praises of the Lord. But there were many instruments those days that they began to praise the Lord with. I began to think about David. You know, before he was anointed king of Israel by Saul, he was out in the field caring for the flock. The other brothers were all having a good time at home. They're having their daily coffee and their breakfast and all sorts of things. And they weren't really worried about the flock of God. And they weren't worried about the sheep, how they were getting on and what they were doing. And I believe God has called David as a true shepherd of the family of God. I say this as a bit of a twist to it. Because as he was a shepherd to the sheep, he became a shepherd to Israel and the people of God. The most amazing thing to me is when I study the scripture, I found that God took most of the great men of God, like Moses, he took him into the wilderness for 40 years and trained him how to be a shepherd. Jacob landed up with his father-in-law and became a shepherd. Many of the others became shepherds too of the flock of God. And we need to realize to be a shepherd, we need to have the ability to care for and look after the sheep. And one of the greatest points about David's life as I look at this psalm is I realized he had a great belief in God. The first point of my sermon today is the Lord is my shepherd. It was a personal experience that he had in his own life, a personal experience that would take him right through his whole life. Even though he fell short on many times and many occasions, God was with him and never left him and forsook him. There are many things that David did he would have been judged for today, and he would have landed up in jail and been in a heinous situation probably because of the things he did. And yet God loved him for one thing. And I believe that was the fact that he had a love for God and a repentant heart for God towards God. Beloved, there is no sin too great for God to forgive. There is no one here too big or too great for God to reach down into your heart and say, I love you with an everlasting love. Because God loves you far greater than you will ever realize. My God, we sing, is an awesome God. Well, I believe as I look into the many miracles that God has done in life, and I look into his creation, I don't know if any of you have seen that film, Indescribable. Have anybody of you seen it? I advise you to go and watch that film if you can go to see it. He goes right into the universes. He goes right into space, and you can see the glory of God's creation. And this is the creation that God has given to all of us, that we can see the beauty of his creation. And I believe when we get to heaven one day, we're going to see things that will even outshine that and be more glorious to what God has for us. And so as David looked out over the sheep and he cared for the flock of God, I believe that God had something very special for him and for his future and for the life that he had ahead of him. I like the next words that go into say into cycle on this here, which he says, I shall not want. He looked at himself. He looked at his self-sufficiency. He looked at all the things around him, the least of the sons of his father. The one who was the, shall we say, the runt of the litter. He was out there caring for the sheep while the brothers were living it up. And whilst he was out there, he had a father far greater than you could have ever realized. A father that had given him all that he would need. He had food to eat. He had the beauty of creation around him. He had the love of God deep down in his heart. And he had the ability to care for sheep and look after the family of God. Now I want to tell you something too, that we need to gain those abilities ourselves. We need to keep our focus on God when things are going bad. We need to realize that God is in control of every situation of our lives, and that no matter what the problems are, no matter what the situations are in life, you will not want, because my God supplies all our needs according to his great riches and glory.
I feel a bit of an anointing coming on here. I feel that God is in control of the situation, and the word of God he has for you this morning is a word of encouragement, beloved. God cares for you. You see growth in your church. You see God beginning to move. I want to tell you today that there is going to be a great move in this church, and it's already starting. There's going to be a great youth move through the youth, the young people. And you'll not want for anything. As I've looked at this building, I think I shared with Eric last time I was here. I looked at that big place next door there. And I'm so glad it hasn't sold yet. I've been praying that God would provide for it. In fact, only the other night whilst I was sleeping, I sort of woke up into sort of a daydream. I dreamt I was preaching in one of the churches here in Cape Cod. As I was preaching in the Cape Cod church there, I saw God move in a magnificent and wonderful way. And I saw many souls come into the kingdom of God as the appeal was made. And as the appeal was made, I saw people there, and I gave an appeal for the people in the pew to come forward and attach themselves to those who come forward and disciple them in the things of God and write down their names and addresses. But one thing I saw also was at the end of the service, they gave me an offering. That was nice. But I believe they gave me an offering, and it became a special reason. You see, what we have is not ours, it's God's. No matter if you give your tithe, I believe in giving 100%. That's myself, my service, the ministry I have, and God gives us a wisdom how to use what he gives us. And I praise God for that. I pastored a church in Fort Victoria in what was Rhodesia those days. It's now known as Mushfinga, Zimbabwe. And I pastored that church for 3 years and only twice received a salary. I had a wife and 3 children to support. Tammy doesn't look too bad, does she? And whilst I was there, I lived better than most people who were living with a salary, because I didn't depend on man for my provision. I depended on God. When you see this verse in Scripture here, I shall not want. I know what it is to live and by faith, and to see God provide in an incredible way. You have no fear to step out and believe God to provide your needs. I like that film of Harrison Ford where he's, where he walks out onto a bridge that no one could see. And he walks out by faith and walks across the chasm and gets to the place. Well, sometimes we seem to be in a state like that, and we don't know where to go and what to do. But I find that the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Amen. He's always there for me. He never leaves me nor forsakes me. And he always protects me and cares for me. Sometimes we get in the way of God by thinking, Lord, and getting desperate for these things. And God says, be still and know that I am God. Amen. I'm there for you. My brother at the back there, Wesley, believed God for a ticket. Within a week we prayed and God gave him the visa and he now has the ticket as well. That's God. 3 months ago, I never thought I would be coming to America. When my daughter asked me to come, we started praying. Was it God's will? And now I only get the lowest pension in England. And I'm not begging for money by saying this, by the way. I'm just saying this to give you an illustration. And I started praying and asking God to supply my needs and undertake. Within those 3 months, I'm here, I'm blessed, and I'm pray that I be a blessing to those around me. Because God is ever with us and he never leaves us or forsakes us. My God is an awesome God. Hallelujah. I was in the middle of a story just now. What was it? The people gave me an offering in my dream. When I checked this offering afterwards, I found that there were 10 checks in that offering. 10 checks for $1 million. Doesn't that sound nice? I think it might have been a tick off from talking about lottery tickets. But God gave me those checks for a specific reason. Not that I can spend them myself and think I can live it up and care for the family and all that. But that it was to go into the project back here, to the buying of the land and this property and the building of a new church here. My God will supply for each and every one of us. Everything I have is not mine, it's God's, and God will undertake. I'm not looking for riches, but I'm looking for the glory of God and knowing that he is able to undertake in every situation. The Lord is my shepherd. It's got here, I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows or green pastures. Beloved, God never takes us where he knows we cannot be. When a shepherd goes out and checks the ground for the sheep to go into the field where he's going to take them for pastures, he checks that there are no snakes there, no bears there, no lions there, nothing that will cause them problems or difficulties. And your shepherd here protects you in the same way as children of God. When you have a problem, is he there to meet your problem? Is he there to help you and pray with you and encourage you along the way? You know why the shepherd has a rod and staff? When he puts it across the door of the sheepfold at night time, he puts it off across as a cross. One rod one way, one rod the other way. So that the sheep can jump over it and he can see if any of the sheep are injured. And then he can put into the put healing balm upon the sheep and care for them in a proper way. I'll come to this in a short while, because the cross represents what Jesus has done for us. He is the one who heals all our diseases, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed. He shall grow up before them as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness, and there is no beauty that we should desire him. He was bruised, smitten of God, and afflicted, and who shall declare his generation? All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one in his own way, and the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. By his stripes we are healed. Hallelujah. Isaiah 53. And he takes us to the best places. You know, the mountaintop isn't always the greatest place to be. Some people I spoke about in the first service is getting on top of the roof and getting down to Jesus. But sometimes we need the valley experiences, because the valley has the fresh water. The valley has the greenest grass. The valley has the place where you can find food for your soul and food for your spirit. I believe that the Word of God is that food, and that Word of God will feed each and every one of us. I wonder how many of us spend much time a day. I hear some people say, I read a chapter out the Bible every day. Hallelujah. But do you understand it? Do you dwell on it? They that dwell in the secret places of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of His wing. And as they get into there, they have the water of life. He leads me beside the still stream. Sorry, my hand's getting a cramp in it. He leads me beside the still streams. Those streams of living water are there. Those streams of water come from above straight into the heart of each one of us. Those streams of water are there to quench our spirits when we are feeling down. Those streams of water are there to revive our souls and our spirit. Those streams of water that flow from God on high. There is a river that flows from God on high. There is a river that never will run dry. The woman sat at the well one day, a Samaritan, and Jesus sat there beside her. And He spoke to her, and He prophesied into her life and told her that she'd had so many husbands and that. But He said, I'm asking for a cup of water, but I can give you the water that you shall never thirst. We need to sometimes get into the valley. We need to sometimes drink deep of the water that God has placed there for us. The water of His Word. The water that is flavored with prayer and dedication to Him who is our God. Where He can renew our strength. Maybe there are some of you who are feeling tired. Some of you are feeling that you need a break. Some of you are feeling a little bit out and out of sorts today. I want to tell you, go to the feet of Jesus and let Him feed your spirit and water your soul with the water of life and the Word of God. He guides you along the right paths. I was saying this morning that God's Word is a light to our path and a lamp to our feet. The reason I say it this way is because a lamp to our feet will give us where we are going as we place our one foot in front of the other. And a light to our paths that helps us to show what is ahead. And God is a God who will lead us along the way, step by step, into the glory of what He has for each and every one of us. I think I'm going to go a long time on this. Have I got another 2 hours, Eric?
You've got until 9 o'clock to 11.
Oh, praise the Lord. He guides us along the right path, bringing honor, not to you, but to His name. You know, prophecy in the New Testament is meant to give, to edify people of God, the children of God. But if it doesn't glorify God, it's not of God. If it doesn't bring glory to God in everything that is said, the prophecy in the Old Testament was very rugged and very demanding. But the prophecy in the New Testament brings us to a closer walk with Him and gives us the knowledge of what He has. It's not the Word of God, but it is a word that I believe God has for each and every one of us. Beloved, God loves you with an incredible love. He has given you all the weapons of your warfare to the pulling down of strongholds. You have the armor of God, which will give you all the protection you need. And it's about time as Christians we realize that and put on the armor of God and let Him walk through our lives. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. One thing I love about the valley of the shadow of death is that word shadow. That word shadows indicates to me that someone is walking with me, and he is the light of the world. Because without the light of the world, there would be no shadow. I remember one of the greatest atheists of his day shouted out as he was dying, "What is this darkness I see before me?" And yet others I've seen and heard of who've come back from death have said they walked into a glorious light. He is our light and our salvation. Hallelujah. For you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. Get back to the rod and staff here, don't we? We have a rod and staff for many reasons in life. I walk with a walking stick sometimes, most times actually. It gives me balance. But you know, the rod and the staff had a greater use to the shepherd. The rod was an instant deliverer. If a bear was to attack the sheep or a lion, the shepherd used to use the rod to beat them off and protect the sheep. Now, I want to go back to the word again here too. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimonies in Book of Revelation says that. But the word of God is not just a light and a lamp, but is the weapons of our warfare to pull down the very balustrades of hell. It is the rod in our hand to be able to confront the enemy who so often tries to attack and get in. The staff is there. You know the shepherd's staff with the hook in it? That staff there is an instant deliverer. For when the sheep go astray, the sheep are falling maybe over a cliff or somewhere like that. The shepherd is able to lean right over that cliff. And he's able to put the hook round the stomach of the sheep and lift the sheep to safety. My God is an awesome God. He takes care of his children. When you fall, he has set his angels over you to lift you up. When you go astray, he is there to bring you back into the fold. When you fall over some crack or some crevice, he is able to lift you up and give you deliverance from your enemies and from the things that cause you problems. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Can you see this? You're sitting down at a table. Your enemies are down there because they are your defeated foe. No longer have they any power over you, because in the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. When you see the beauty of his holiness and you stand in his presence and you look upon the glory of God, you can just give a great shout, a whoop, of glory to God. In the presence of your enemies, you can shine for him. You honor me by anointing my head with oil, and my cup overflows with blessings. You anoint my head. The oil represents the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, a promise that Jesus gave when he was to go to the cross, he said, "I would not leave you comfortless, but I would send the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you into all truth." Hallelujah. We have every provision, beloved. We have all that we need in Christ Jesus. We have everything. There's no other religion in this world can give you what Christianity can give you, because God is an all-sufficient God. My cup overflows with blessing. Oh, hallelujah. I've been blessed as I've been here. My cup has been overflowing with joy. I've seen what God has done for me during my life. I'm only a youngster in life today, and God has provided time and time again. And I've seen him give good measure, pressed down, shaken together, full and running over. I've seen him to provide breakfast when we had no food on the table. I've seen him fill an empty cupboard with food. I've seen him provide petrol for my car to run from one place to another after I'd given the last money I had in my pocket into an offering. I've seen God work in miraculous ways in my life. I've seen him make the blind see, the deaf to speak, well, they're not the deaf to hear, and the dumb to speak. I've seen it in my life and know that my God is a reality. Don't tell me and don't believe these people who preach that only up until the first century did God give these ministries. I want to tell you, God has given them for today until he comes. And they're there for the church and the body of Christ to go forward in the things of the Lord. Surely, goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. You know, the house of the Lord where I dwell is where I come together with the real church. Because you are the church. You are the people of God. This is the house of the Lord. And he dwells in each and every one of us. And he dwells in our lives in all the fullness and glory that he has for each and every one of us. You know, one thing I realize that we need to think about this very clearly, because our relationships to each other should be that of love. He said here, surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me. I love that word love, and I love that word pursue. Love to me means life, obedience, victory, and eternity. He has provided us with life. He has told us to be obedient to him. And he's given us a victory in Christ Jesus. And he's given us a glorious eternity with him in glory. But then there's an unfailing love that pursues us. It doesn't just stop there. For his love takes after each and every one of us. It's like being chased wherever you are with the glory of God and allowing him to bless you, allowing him to have first word in all of your lives, in all of your beings, allowing him to be the center of your relationship with each other and your care for each other. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Is he your shepherd today?